We end tonight's program with a story about winning, losing, and how champions are made. It's the story of Isaiah Thomas.
I always wanted to play the perfect basketball game. You know, the basketball fantasies were not about winning championships and all that. It was all about trying to play that perfect game. It was like, you know, why do you have to miss a shot?
Isaiah Thomas is still looking for that perfect game, not as a player, but as the puppet master of the New York Knickerbockers. Thomas was a star point guard who brought NBA championships to the Detroit Pistons in 1989 and 90. He's now president of basketball operations for the Knicks, in charge of ending their 30-year exile from the NBA championship throne. He's traded his number 11 jersey for a finely tailored business suit that drapes his still athletic frame gracefully. Thomas plots the future of the Knicks from a tower just above Madison Square Garden where the Knicks play.
Yes.
The Knicks hired Thomas just 3 months ago. Already he's shaken the team from top to bottom. The Knicks were wallowing near the bottom of their division when Thomas masterminded a basketball coup. He traded for star guard Stephon Marbury, a New York native languishing in Phoenix. New York fans were ecstatic, and when they look at Marbury on the court, they may be reminded of the young Isaiah Thomas, an explosive point guard who could pass and score. But Thomas says he wasn't hiring his clone.
I was looking at someone that I saw was in love with the game and, you know, had been hurt by the game.
How do you mean?
Well, when you love as much as we love, right, with love there comes trust. And there's a certain innocence and naivete about being that blindly in love. I think Steph has been hurt by the business of the game. I think by coming home, you know, he's trusting again. Now, from that, you can help him achieve his goals, which are to win the NBA championship.
You know, you sound almost like a Zen master. I mean, you talk about basketball as if it is the way.
That's the game. You play as you live, or you live as you play. And the way we were taught the game, it's very spiritual. It is a way of life.
Thomas has the charisma of an evangelical preacher, and he traces his discipleship back to the sports creator. As a young boy in Chicago, he learned the game from a man named John McClendon, who some claim is the only African American to study under Dr. James Naismith, the inventor of basketball. At a local YMCA, McClendon donated his time, advice, and Converse reject sneakers to Isaiah and his young friends.
I'll never forget him standing in front of us with the basketball in his hand, and he said these words, "This ball will take you all around the world. You will make friends with this ball. You will meet interesting people. You will dine with kings and queens because of this ball."
Isaiah Lord Thomas III has come a long way to take charge of this iconic team in this mythic city, New York. As the youngest of nine children, he survived extreme poverty on Chicago's West Side. Often food was in short supply. So Thomas's dreams were not of championships, but instead of well-stocked refrigerators.
You know, food wasn't in our house every day. We stood in the soup lines, begged for food. At that time, if you didn't pay your rent, they would sit you out. So they would take all your furniture and set your furniture outside. So there were a couple of times you'd come home from school and your furniture would be sitting out on the sidewalk, clothes and everything, and you move from place to place. And that's just how it was. And the only place that, believe it or not, where I never really felt hunger or pain is out on the basketball floor. When I started playing basketball, there'd be a game or something going on, and the only thing that existed was the ball, the net, the rim. And sometimes there wasn't a net. You know, it was just you out there, and you can kind of forget and get lost in it. And I did.
How did that difficult upbringing, how has it made you who you are? How does it affect you as you sit here behind this desk, high above Madison Square Garden?
I measure everything against that. I feel like if what I've gone through, what I've made it through, whatever challenges I face personally or professionally, I have no doubt in my mind that I can overcome them because of what I've been through. Every situation I face, I measure it against those values that I learned on the west side of Chicago.
What are those values?
Things that you've learned from your mother, her commitment to a family, some things that you may have taken away from, you know, gang members, their loyalty, you know, their trust factor, the instincts that you need to be able to wake up and walk down the street and have to look at a guy a block away, and instinctively you got to decide if that guy's going to kill you, if he's going to rob you, or if, you know, he's going to let you pass. And by the way, if you make the wrong decision, you die. That's just the way I lived.
For the most part, positive role models were scarce on Chicago's west side. Two of Isaiah's six brothers became addicted to heroin. A third brother was a pimp. But all his siblings believed in Isaiah. He was the family's hope. His mother, Mary Thomas, insisted on his getting an education, and he got it. He earned a bachelor's degree in criminal justice by taking classes in the off-seasons during his pro career. And Thomas gave back to his family, helping his brothers beat their addictions. That may shed some light on his recent signing of Vin Baker, a 6'11" forward. The Boston Celtics recently fired Baker for repeated alcohol abuse.
Are you bringing him here because he's, you know, going to be a great low post player for you, or are you bringing him here partly because here's a man who deserves a second chance and you think you can help him?
Both of those reasons. A, he can help us, and B, we can help him. And it's a two-way street. He's from a good family. He's been brought up the right way. He's a very, very personable young man. You know, he's not perfect. Neither am I.
You don't feel like, I mean, at some level, hiring Vin Baker has to be an emotional decision. You know, in a lot of business, you would say you can't afford to make that emotional decision as you're trying to put together this product that you want to sell. You got to make it on the hard, cold facts.
Here's a hard, cold fact about all business. It is a business of love. And if you don't love what you're doing, then you can't have passion and emotion. And if you don't have passion and emotion, then you can't have a fan. Because our job is to make fans. And the only way we can do that is through passion, emotion, and love. Vin Baker has more than enough money to walk away and go sit down and retire for the rest of his life. He loves the game.
Isaiah Thomas is barely 6'1", a feisty David among Goliaths when he played. But he could dominate a game filled with stars like Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, and Larry Bird. In 1997, he was honored as one of the top 50 NBA players of all time.
From the Detroit Pistons, number 11, Isaiah Thomas.
Since then, Thomas has had a rougher time as a coach and basketball executive. As a part owner of the Toronto Raptors, he feuded over control of the team and lost. More recently, he was fired as the head coach of the Indiana Pacers, despite taking that team to the playoffs during his 3 years there. Now, in his new position, the risks are huge, but so are the rewards. And the Knicks have been playing better since Thomas arrived.
Can't get it in. Throws it up to Marbury. Marbury by half court. 4 seconds to play. Marbury drives down a lane. Running layup is up. Short. Tipped in by Muhammad at the buzzer. And they count it. The game is tied. And we'll go to overtime.
This past Tuesday night at Madison Square Garden, the Knicks beat the struggling Washington Wizards, a team with no playoff hopes. The Knicks themselves still have a chance. Isaiah Thomas knows success won't come easily, even though he's got the good looks and charm to win over celebrity-conscious New Yorkers. People magazine once named him one of America's 50 most beautiful people. During his first weeks in the city, Thomas went out on the town with three ardent Knicks fans, filmmaker Spike Lee, the music recording mogul Jay-Z, and comedian Chris Rock.
Those three were able to give me a great lay of the land about New York. and actually it was a line by Chris Rock, and he said, New Yorkers always play over their head. He said it's a city that plays over its head. And then he looked at Spike Lee. He said, Spike Lee, film producer, over his head. He said, Chris Rock, Saturday Night Live, and he doesn't do, you know, one impersonation, over my head. Jay-Z, 9 gold records, over his head. But, you know, I got it. And it got me to thinking about the Knicks. It's always been a team that wasn't always blessed with the greatest talent in the NBA, but they always played over their head. Any other team that has gone through this type of transformation, players and coaches, this late in the season, I don't know where they would be. But us, we're over our head right now. And that's New York.
With Isaiah Thomas, the Knicks once again represent hope for New Yorkers and the possibility of reaching heights that have long been beyond their reach.
These little town blues are melting away. I'll make a brand new start of it in old New York. If I can make it there, I'll make it anywhere. It's up to you, New York, New York.
To see pictures and hear more musings on basketball, go to our website at npr.org. Our piece on Isaiah Thomas was recorded by Rob Christensen and produced by Walter Ray Watson, who is also our senior producer. Special thanks to Sports Radio WFAN and the NBA for providing tape. Martha Wexler edits our show and Susan Stone directs. Tracy Wall produced today's program with DeVar Ardalan, Elaine Heintzman, and Petra Mayer. The technical director is Neil Ellis, with audio engineers Peter Alina, Jerry Tennant, Stu Rushfield, Carlos Gomez, and Sherry Marshevsky. The newscast producer is Carol Ann Clark Kelly.
These little town blues are melting away.
I'm John Itzte. That's All Things Considered from NPR News.
Start of it.